Shadowcast, Episode 24, this week's story, Soulless Vessel, by Kimberly Grenfell. Kimberly Grenfell is the wife of one, the mother of two, and a willing companion to two other children who have disguised themselves as dogs. A stay-at-home mom and a part-time kennel technician, this author lives in the backwoods with black bears, coyotes, turkeys, and an occasional stray moose. Kimberly's been an avid reader since childhood and has studied creative writing and editing both independently and through college courses. Presently, she's working on a collection of dark fantasy novels based in Candoria, a fictional world where she spends much of her spare time. Along with a number of Writer Beat Quarterly articles, Soulless Vessel is Kimberly's third dark fiction piece published, a side scene of a prior event alluded to in her main fantasy novel that she is currently seeking representation for.
Soulless Vessel by Kimberly Grenfell. Read and produced by Matthew Grenfell. Slit her throat from ear to ear. Let her feel the pain. Make her writhe in her own lifeblood. Lamont slid down the corridor of the manor house with his hand upon his dagger's hilt and crept toward the open study door. The black mist swirled before him. Though he needed no coaxing, he killed for it once. A second time would make no difference. Slip in, slip out, and be silent. Let them find her body. You will get your reward. Lamont peered around the doorpost. At the desk near the window, a girl busied herself with her studies. Back turned and head bent over the tome from which she copied her lessons. A silver ribbon gathered her red curls. A lantern hung nearby. Pathetic, he thought. She works late, the voice rasped. How fortunate for you. Fortunate indeed. His half-sister never worked this late. The second sun had long set. A pink sliver of moon crested the eastern horizon. Lamont's gaze searched the corridor. Where was the girl's keeper? Surely she was ever watchful, but now? Pity such a valuable 7-year-old had been left unguarded. And if the keeper showed herself? No matter. He was twice the girl's age, thrice her strength. Her death would fuel the master's power within, enough to kill the keeper if needed. Lamont pressed against the wall. His grip tightened around the dagger's hilt. The mist expanded, pulsating with desire and radiating with angry heat. It wanted to feed. Now. Lamont stretched his pointed nails to it. I am at your mercy, my dark master, he whispered. Do with me what you will. And he braced himself for the impact. The force struck him like a fist. Face twisted, Lamont convulsed, fighting against the give of his knees as the blackness poured in. It coursed through his blood like an acrid toxin, clawing down his spine and into his limbs, tainting his flesh. A screech ripped through his mind. Lamont clutched his head, doubling over. Teeth gritted, he bit back his own scream. Silence. Lamont slowly opened his eyes. Misty blackness veiled his vision. He smacked his lips, tasting the tang of blood, and he grinned, reveling in the churlish feel of the Dark Master's power. As it once had been, so it was now. He was omnipotent. Kill her! Lamont bolted through the doorway. In a trice he was upon the girl, seizing her and dragging her from the chair. He crushed her close and pressed the dagger tip to her throat. One sound, my dear sister, and I will thrust this through your neck. The girl whimpered, trembling, her small grip tight upon his arm. Lamont buried his nose into her nape and inhaled. The scent of fear swelled thick in his nostrils, and he shivered at this unexpected arousal. A delectable new experience. His craving for torture piqued. What are you waiting for? Kill her. Lamont chuckled. Kill her? Why? Why should he kill her, when absorbing her terror was far more satisfying? I see you're all alone, he said. And what exactly are you doing, Marissa? Playing pretend? Studying for a leadership you aren't fit to take? His laughter resonated up from his chest. Let's see how well you play pretend with me. And he traced the blade across her throat. The blade nicked, and Marissa flinched. Oh, Lamont caressed her cheek. What a shame. I've cut you. He wiped the bead of blood with his fingertip, then drew it along his tongue. His eyes rolled back, salty, sweet, terrified. The Dark Master writhed within. Give me her soul now. Lamont's passion throbbed, and his mouth twisted with a stiff grin. Marissa began to weep.
Please, Lamont, please don't kill me. I'll do anything, anything. Just please, don't kill me.
Oh, he cocked his head. Anything, you say? And Marissa nodded, still sobbing. Lamont's brow lifted. Interesting. What could he make her do in the seductive clutches of her fear? Kill her. Pain sliced his arm and into his fingers. Lamont winced. He gripped the hilt and steadied the dagger, fighting the urge to slit Marissa's throat. As the fury ebbed, Lamont's arousal deepened, and he sought more. So, he whispered, you'll do anything I say?
Yes.
Really, now? He pressed her closer. Would you grovel to spare your life?
Yes.
Marissa's voice thinned, barely an audible breath, and Lamont stroked her sweaty forehead, brushed his fingers down her temple. Then perhaps you'd carve my name into the flesh over your heart? Marissa's words choked, and she nodded. Lamont grinned, so innocent, so vulnerable. Kill her. The Dark Master snarled, and again Lamont strained against its wrath, consumed by his lust for domination. Last time, the Master had control and bid Lamont to slip the blade into its victim's heart. But this time? Oh, this time. This pathetic excuse for an error, and her luring scent of terror, was his. How desperate are you, Marissa? Lamont brushed his cracked lips against her ear like a sick lover. What are you willing to sacrifice to be released from your fear? Would you carry out my secret desire? He asked. Would you murder your own father? Marissa gasped. A shriek pierced the air. Lamont spun around. In the doorway stood the keeper, her gray eyes wild with rage. A vehement cry, and the keeper lunged toward him. Marissa wrenched free. Lamont raised the dagger, expecting a surge of power to plunge the blade into the oncoming Virago. But he doubled over and vomited a black ooze that splattered onto the floor and seeped into the cracks between the planks. His vision cleared, and a chill gripped his spine. Out! The keeper cried, and she knocked the dagger from his hand. Out, you vile whore son! Seizing him by the shoulders, she thrust him through the doorway. Lamont stumbled down the corridor, spitting gobs of black. Curse the Maker! He smacked the walls, greedy. He hungered for the delicious sensation swollen by his half-sister's fear, and the Dark Master had drained him, left him unable to fight against a female. Stupid, shameful, pathetic. He collapsed, prone at his bedchamber's threshold, breath shallow and cheek mashed to the floor. Marissa's screams mixed with the keeper's shrill voice brought forth a heavy onrush of footfalls and the enraged bellow of his stepfather. Though he struggled to rise, Lamont's strength refused to return, and he slumped in groaning defeat to await his fate. As it had once been, so it was now. He was impotent, ravaged by the Dark Master. He braced himself for the grasp that would force him into exile for treason. But no matter. The mist would seek him out again, and he would experience the rapturous height of his fear-driven lust another time. Because, after all, the master needed a soulless vessel in order to feed.
I believe there's a very good reason why greed is named as one of the seven deadly sins. Regardless of your beliefs, one thing is true. Few things can topple power as quickly and efficiently as greed. I hope certain people within our power structure figure that out before... who am I kidding? That's never gonna happen. Might as well wish for the yellow brick road. Okay, so now I have a couple of announcements before I go. First, I want to wish House of Horror a happy birthday. The 25th of this month will mark their one-year anniversary of putting out Great Dark Fiction. It's a fine online magazine with great stories and artwork. I suggest you check it out at houseofhorror.org.uk. Secondly, for those of you unaware of the world spinning around you, early last month I announced a short story competition based on Disgustipated, a song by Tool. After reviewing the submissions, Tia and I have come to our decision. The winner of the Disgustipated short story contest is Todd Austin Hunt with his story, The Definition of a Line. Congratulations, Todd. I will be working diligently to get you your body parts as soon as possible. In addition to his story, Tia and I also decided to use two other runner-up stories in a double episode that will precede Todd's. So you guys have a lot to look forward to. Speaking of looking forward, I have one final announcement. With summer coming, I find myself looking down the barrel of increased demands on my time. I've decided to finish my degree. I'll be coaching t-ball, camping at the lake, and in general spending more time with family since the kids will be out of school. That being said, I've decided to change the schedule for the summer. I'll be going to a bi-weekly format, much like the one I originally started with. Meaning you'll get an episode every 2 weeks instead of every week like you do now. This will probably necessitate the need for more double episodes in order to work through the submissions I currently have and those I hope to get in the future. I hope you'll stick around. There's an upside. If you guys continue to support us, blogging, tweeting, telling your friends about us, and of course donating to the podcast occasionally, we'll also be making a change to a paying market over the summer. Expect to see more about that in the near future. Leave your comments or suggestions on this week's episode and tell me what you think. As always, our intro music was The Cove by The Contrarian. Find out more at thecontrarianmedia.com. Our outro music was Drift by Christopher Carlson. Find it and many others at christophercarlson.com. Some sounds used in today's podcast were courtesy of the Free Sound Project. This episode was produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Thanks for listening. Stay well.